Good evening. My name is Deborah Roberts, and I serve as the chair of the Utah State Board of Education. We welcome you to our third annual State of Education Address. We appreciate the hospitality of the administration of Woodrow Wilson Elementary and the Granite School District. It is a pleasure to be here this evening. We extend our thanks to KCPW for their continued willingness to broadcast this evening's speech and their ongoing endeavors to provide important news and understanding to Utah's listeners. My thanks to the audience and our very many special guests here this evening, both here at Woodrow Wilson Elementary and those on the internet and the radio. Thank you for your time and your concern about Utah education. This evening, we will be addressed once again by our state superintendent, Dr. Larry Shumway. In his 2 short years as our state superintendent, he has literally traveled the world, the nation, and most importantly, our state, to understand the needs of our students and the opportunities we have to meet those needs. He has worked to visit with stakeholders in every arena to better comprehend points of view and to coalesce those points of view into workable education frameworks. Dr. Shumway has brought to his work his own strong educational framework, beginning as a youth in an international school in Afghanistan and culminating with his bachelor's and master's at Brigham Young University and doctorate at the University of Nevada. He has served at every level within the educational system, from teacher and principal to district and now state superintendent. In his work, he has been innovative and tireless in his pursuit of excellence in education for our students. Of all the things the superintendent has worked on and accomplished in the past 2 years, none has had as great an impact as the work of the State Board of Education, nor has the potential for a lasting legacy as does his work on Promises to Keep, a vision and mission for Utah public education. The strength of this vision is that it addresses not an educational whim of the moment, not a fleeting trend, but foundational educational principles that will be applicable 10, 20, even 30 years from now as they are today. Although the application of those principles will, and if we are truly keeping the promises, must change, the underlying principles will not change and will continue to be the promises that must be kept to our Utah children. This emphasis has pushed the State Board of Education to focus the work we do and to champion approaches we believe have the potential to evolve the Utah public education into the structure it needs to best serve the students of Utah far into the future. Keeping these promises must be the work of every stakeholder if we are to most effectively and efficiently use the limited resources we have. We thank Superintendent Shumway for his vision and his guidance as we move forward in keeping those promises. I give to you, Dr. Larry Shumway.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to members of the State Board of Education, Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell, Education Director Christine Curl, superintendents and charter school leaders, and others here in our audience, along with listeners on KCPW NPR Utah and online at schools.utah.gov. We're here at Woodrow Wilson Elementary in the Granite School District. This school serves students from more than 25 countries, and more than half the students here are English language learners. They come from homes where Arabic, Burmese, Kirundi, Farsi, Spanish, Swahili are spoken. The Family Literacy Center here at Woodrow Wilson provides English classes for parents who, after their own classes, can attend their children's classes, sitting side by side and learning with them. At this school, it's understood that education is a family and a community project. Thanks to Superintendent Martin Bates, the Granite Board of Education, Principal Linda Hart, Assistant Principal Diane Phillips, and their staff for being our hosts here tonight. Thank you. Now, it's my honor to introduce to you the Utah 2012 Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Lee Vandenacker. Mrs. Vandenacker, stand and be recognized. Mrs. Vandenacker is a 20-year veteran of the classroom, and she's a teacher at East High School in Salt Lake City. In 1994, Mrs. Vandenacker lost her mother to a heart attack, and shortly thereafter, her sister to cancer. Her sister left three young daughters. Before her death, her sister said, "Don't tell my girls they're beautiful. Tell them that they're brave, that they're smart, that they're strong." Mrs. Vandenacker replied, "I'll tell them they're all that and that they're beautiful too." "My sister," Mrs. Vandenacker told me, "taught me what I teach my students, that they have the strength to face and accomplish hard things." Mrs. Vandenacker exemplifies the great teachers in classrooms all across this state. Thank you, Mrs. Vandenacker, for your work. So in brief, here's the state of education in Utah by the numbers. This year we'll enroll 591,000 students in grades K through 12 in schools across the state. We'll spend approximately $3.8 billion from local, state, and federal sources. Might sound like a lot, but at $6,500 per student, our state has the lowest cost per student of any in the nation. Our schools for those dollars spent are incredibly productive. The United States Chamber of Commerce ranks Utah schools number one among the 50 states for return on public education investment. Our high school graduation rate's near 90%. Last year, we ranked in the top 10 in the ACT, and more than 73% of our students took the ACT test. That's an increase of 5%. We're especially pleased that our advanced placement participation among Hispanic, Black, and Pacific Islander students has nearly tripled in the last 5 years. More than 40% of last year's graduates were enrolled in advanced placement, international baccalaureate, or concurrent enrollment classes, earning both college and high school credit. Two-thirds of the students in AP classes took and passed AP exams, which is a rate 10 points higher than the national average. Our schools get great support from their communities. Every year, parents and volunteers give thousands of hours that enrich our schools and help our students. Our Utah business community continues to add support to schools. Last year, when I encouraged business leaders to redouble their efforts, they responded. Just 2 weeks ago at Edison Elementary in the Salt Lake City School District, I was joined by officials of Chevron to announce the Fuel Your Schools program in Salt Lake and Davis counties. Chevron will give a dollar every time someone fills up with gas at one of its stations throughout the month of October. It's estimated that'll be more than $500,000 donated and distributed to classrooms for supplies and projects. I want to thank Greg Hardy, I think, who's here tonight, the Rocky Mountain State Government Affairs Director, and Chevron for this effort. Greg, will you stand somewhere? He's standing somewhere. There's a Provo-based company, Imagine Learning, that's developed powerful English language learning software and other literacy software widely used in Utah schools. This is a company that has exemplified great school and business partnerships. Imagine Learning is here tonight and recently with me announced a fitness challenge for Utah educators. Imagine Learning will sponsor a series of fitness events throughout the year, culminating with the participation of 8 teams of educators that they'll sponsor running in the Ragnar Relay, the Ragnar Wasatchback Relay. Think of the Ragnar as a 197-mile run through the mountains from Logan to Park City with a dozen of your best friends. Beginning this Saturday, October 15th, educators can register to participate by going online at imaginelearning.com. The registration for the 2012 Ragnar, which is next June, is already sold out, but Imagine Learning has reserved our spots. I think we as educators can set an example of the kind of fitness that stimulates brain function and that is important to the lives of our young people. So thanks to Susan Prater, CEO of Imagine Learning, she's here, and the other great folks that work with her. Thank you, Susan. We'll talk a lot about technology tonight. I want to share with you an example of a business effort that brings technology home to students. Last week, Comcast announced a program to help close the digital divide. It'll provide internet access to more families in Utah. Comcast identified as one of the major barriers that families face in internet adoption is cost. So they're offering qualified families a high-speed broadband internet connection and a home computer at a very steeply discounted price. We're joined by Comcast representatives Steve Proper and Ray Child tonight. Comcast, and thank you for your support of families and education in Utah. Let us recognize you. Thank you. We could go on and on with this list. Sam's Club, Smith's, the Ken Garf Auto Group, Mountain America Credit Union, Zions Bank, the Larry Miller Group, and on and on. You just open a yearbook and you'll see the great support our schools receive. It's an era of unprecedented global competition, of rapidly evolving skill and knowledge requirements, and of extraordinary public and political expectations. A study from Georgetown University tells us that by 2020, the Utah economy will demand 66% of the workforce have some post-secondary training. Today, about half of the workforce meets the 2020 standard, so we have some real work to do. We need to increase our high school graduation rate and our four-year college completion rate. But just as importantly, we need many more young people to complete one-year certificates and two-year associate degrees. When we talk about college, we need everyone to know that it's not just bachelor's degrees, but one, two, four, and more year degrees and certificates. We're developing implementing policies and programs that will lead young people in increasing numbers to choose high growth and critical career paths in areas like technology, healthcare, engineering, and teaching. I appreciate Governor Herbert's leadership in this effort. The Governor's Education Excellence Commission has adopted the 66% target by 2020 as its overall goal. I support that goal and with the Commission believe it's achievable. The Governor's goal is endorsed by Prosperity 2020, a business and community partnership that includes the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce, the Utah Technology Council, United Way of Salt Lake City, Junior Achievement of Utah, Citizens and Citizens for Education Excellence. Lieutenant Governor Bell is here tonight along with Christine Curl and Mark Bouchard representing Prosperity 2020. I want to thank you for your leadership in this effort. Thank you. Our country and our state are facing tough economic challenges. Before we get too discouraged, let's look back at Utah during the Great Depression. Utah was among the states hardest hit by the Depression. In 1932, Utah's unemployment rate was nearly 36%. By the spring of 1933, one of every three Utah families was receiving all or part of its food, clothing, and shelter from government relief funds. 32 of Utah's 105 banks had failed. The state endured this suffering for a full decade. It wasn't until World War II that the state returned to full employment, but of course the war brought its own new challenges and sacrifices. In 1939, Clark Johnson was an 18-year-old boy in Brigham City, newly graduated from Box Elder High School. One afternoon in early September, the father of his best friend stopped him on the street. He was on his way to Ogden to register his own son for the fall quarter at Weber Junior College. Put Clark in the car, took him along, got him registered for classes, and paid his tuition, $17. Every day that year, young Clark hitchhiked from Brigham City to Ogden to attend his classes. He owned a single hand-me-down shirt that he wore to school every day and laundered every night. Got a job sweeping the gym and played on the basketball team. When Pearl Harbor was attacked, Clark left school and joined the Army. The Army sent him to study at Lehigh University, but as D-Day approached, they transferred him to the infantry, sent him to France, where he fought the Battle of the Bulge and marched on to Berlin. After the war, with his new GI benefits, Clark enrolled as an English major at Utah State University. When he graduated in 1947, he was hired to teach in the Tooele School District, and he served with distinction there for more than 35 years, first as a teacher and a coach, then as a principal, finally as the district superintendent. My son Stephen attended the last 2 years at Clark N. Johnson Junior High School, named in honor of that boy who hitchhiked every day from Brigham City. So our challenges today are significant, but we shame ourselves and our forebears if we say that more is required of us than is required of previous generations. We're the beneficiaries of their courage and their sacrifices. Today, too often I hear people say the efforts we're asked to make for future generations are just too great, that it's too much to ask. I believe there are too many who talk about greater efficiency when they really mean lesser effort. It seems to me that I hear way too much of "we can't." We need to look backward and recognize that our freedom and our prosperity are the result of the heroic effort of people who had far less than we have and gave much more than we're asked, than we'll probably ever understand. We're at a critical juncture in Utah's public schools. According to the Utah Foundation, the effort we're making to fund our schools has fallen dramatically over the last 20 years. Today, as a state, we're committing 20% less of our personal income to education than we did in 1972. I find this difficult to understand in a state where we speak so ardently of our commitment to families and to children. According to the Foundation's analysis, our effort places Utah in the bottom half of the 50 states. Our effort, our willingness to invest, just doesn't match our claims of valuing children and our claim of being committed to their future. I believe we must do more. So why do I ask you to make this greater commitment to public education? The State Board of Education and I believe this investment in public schools is the fulfillment of a promise made in our state's Constitution to secure and perpetuate freedom. Our board vision and mission, Promises to Keep, is based on that constitutional idea. We understand that securing and perpetuating freedom requires citizens who are prepared to participate in civic and political affairs, requires economic prosperity and opportunity spread across our community. Freedom requires strong moral and social values and loyalty to constitutional principles. Schools serve these purposes and are worth paying for. The State Board of Education recently held a social studies forum to talk about how we prepare students to understand their responsibilities as citizens. So part of this is accomplished through classes in history and social studies and government and geography. But some of the most important goals, building strong moral and social values, as well as loyalty and commitment to constitutional government, these ought to be met as part of the everyday atmosphere and interaction in our schools. The law directs Utah schools and teachers to instill in students the values of honesty, hard work, morality, civility, respect for parents and home, and other habits of character that will prepare students to accept the responsibility for preserving and defending the blessings of liberty inherited from prior generations. Now, teachers are understandably wary of this responsibility. One need not look far to see the frequent criticisms and the media attacks on teachers that would justify those concerns. Teachers need us to back them up. And I pledge my support for teachers as they teach the moral and social values in their classroom. And I ask all of you to join me in supporting them as they do this hard work. Utah citizens should expect schools to keep our promise to them, to ensure literacy and numeracy for all Utah children, to provide high-quality instruction in every classroom, to have a curriculum with high standards and relevance, and to require effective assessment to support quality instruction and accountability. I hope you see every part of this mission is focused on students and puts students first. Literacy should always be our first priority in schools. No other success in our schools can compensate for failure to teach all children to read. It's the foundation upon which future learning depends. Research makes absolutely clear that early success and early intervention are keys to later learning. Here are some results that show the value of early intervention. The Granite District just reported a 5-year study of the impact of high-quality preschool on closing achievement gaps for children living in poverty. At the end of 5 years, Granite students who participated in this program are doing better than the state average in both reading and math, effectively closing the achievement gap at the end of third grade. A report from the Nebo School District compared students in full-day kindergarten to students who did not participate. The district found that 15% more of the full-day kindergarten group was reading at grade level at the end of third grade. So we know that early intervention boosts the achievement of our most challenged children. Early intervention is currently funded with a single-year appropriation of $7.5 million. That supports interventions for about 8,000 students, less than 20% of our kindergarten enrollment. Without a new appropriation, this crucial support will end. The State Board of Education has made extending funding for early intervention one of its top budget priorities. I know this is a priority for Governor Herbert, and I would invite the legislature to join us in making certain that this funding is available for the students who need it most. We need to invest more in technology. State Board's working on technology standards for Utah schools that will guide us forward to the future. But you should know we're not starting from square one in Utah. The Utah Education Network is the envy of most of the states around us, gives us a strong network backbone. Now we just need to put tools in the hands of teachers and students to really revolutionize learning. We need to achieve a one-to-one ratio between students and computing devices. I read a report recently on infusing technology in classrooms that found that a 2-to-1 or a 3-to-1 ratio in a classroom is more like a 10-to-1 ratio than a 1-to-1 ratio. You don't get there until you get to 1-to-1. At Kearns High School, each student now has an iPod Touch. It's a handheld wireless device that those of you in the know probably own. I visited Kearns High last year to see how this was working. I saw a revolution in communications between teachers and students. I saw a transformation of classroom instruction and interaction and a flowering of creativity among teachers and students that was truly amazing. I visited Viewmont Elementary in the Murray District, where Mrs. Jennifer Lightfoot had a grant to purchase iPads for her kindergarten classroom. She was able to buy these terrific apps that teach letter names and sounds and number recognition and other great kindergarten skills. The total cost for these apps, $20. The effect in her classroom, priceless. There are other technology investments in our state returning great results in English language learning, distance and online coursework, communication with parents, online testing. It's a list that could go on and that we hope will keep getting longer. In its budget recommendation, the board has proposed a plan for new state and local investment in technology of $30 million per year, intended primarily to support online assessment. Again, we would ask the governor and the legislature to join us in making technology funding a high priority. We need to invest in the professional development of our teachers and our principals. The most important school variable in student success, the most important school variable, is the quality of instruction in the classroom. Now, our teachers face enormous challenges and high expectations. And to meet the needs of their students, our educators need the resources to practice new skills and acquire new knowledge. I'm concerned about our diminished commitment to professional development. In 2008, we committed $74 million to teacher professional learning, support that has vanished. This investment paid for every Utah teacher to participate in professional growth. We tried to make up for this loss by giving schools some flexibility within the school calendar. We allow schools to use up to 2 days for approved professional learning. But this is only a stopgap measure. We cannot, in good faith, continue to ask for more effective instruction while we cut school days and eliminate professional development. We must invest in professional development. Public education faces a crisis of confidence. Magazines and films, newspapers are filled with negative stories about schools and educators. Just as the world I live in doesn't match the world of crime portrayed in the media, the schools I visit don't match the story told in the news. In poll after polls, our citizens state their support for public education, but that support comes with a couple of caveats. They want to be assured that our schools are as efficient as possible and that schools manage their workforce effectively. They expect schools to reward effective teachers and to not make excuses for ineffective ones. We need public support for our schools to succeed. So the public has to believe that we're serious about solving the problems they perceive, real or not. We must change the perception that education is unwilling to resolve the problems, the issues of career status and performance pay. The State Board of Education has adopted a set of general concepts to lead the way toward changing our state's policies regarding both career status and performance pay. We will work with legislators alongside with district and charter leaders to develop these ideas for consideration in the upcoming session of the legislature. And over the next several months, we will work hard to create opportunities all around the state for all stakeholders from every side to be heard on these issues. With changes to the rules under which schools manage their employees, and with our support for performance pay, we communicate to the public that we take their concerns seriously. I have trust in our education workforce, in teachers, lunchroom workers, principals, bus drivers, and others. I have trust to believe that we can approach these issues not in fear, but with confidence in ourselves and in our colleagues. There are those who claim that changes to career status will result in at-will employment. That is, that teacher contracts would have no expectation of continued employment. That's not what we envision, but we're committed to giving schools the greater flexibility they need to manage their workforce. There are those that worry that performance pay might mean bonuses paid on a single measure, maybe a single student test. Not so. We advocate for multiple measures, including student growth, classroom observations, parent and student satisfaction, and other local choices. Now, I have confidence in Utah teachers. We have great teachers in this state who are the strength of our schools, and to teachers goes the credit for our state's successes. These days, teaching is one of the most criticized jobs in America. You might think, listening to the critics, that teachers had been the recipients of these fat CEO bonuses, when in fact they've made significant sacrifices. Teachers haven't been alone in this. Custodians and secretaries, maintenance men, and others have made sacrifices. I understand that, and I respect educators and other employees in Utah Public Schools. Thank you to all our great Utah Public School employees for the great work they do. State Board of Education has adopted the Utah Common Core standards, new and clear higher standards in mathematics and language arts that will ensure that all students are prepared for the challenges of college and career. We're keenly aware that students today need stronger skills in math and literacy than ever before, regardless of the pathway that they'll pursue after high school. To begin implementing the Common Core, nearly 6,000 Utah educators participated last summer in professional development focused on the new standards. And this fall, students are experiencing instruction in math and language arts with the new standards. The adoption and implementation of the Utah Common Core standards will lead to our students being more career and college ready. So we know the best way to achieve success is to plan for it. For many years, we've required students and parents to participate in the Student Educational Occupational Plan, or SEOP. The time has come for more rigorous college and career planning to ensure that students have an exact understanding of the coursework and achievement needed to prepare for their post-high school undertakings. As part of a strengthened college and career planning process, students who successfully complete a pathway to college and careers should receive a diploma that recognizes this achievement. The State Board of Education and I will propose and support legislation and rules to make certain that this happens, that students are college and career ready upon the completion of high school. We'll continue to work on improved assessment of student achievement. The board's budget proposal includes $2.2 million so that every student in Utah can take the ACT. In states that have 100% participation in the ACT, the transition from high school to college is smoother and college enrollment is up. We now have 73% participation in the ACT, but we will settle for nothing less than 100% participation. We're moving forward with computer adaptive testing. A computer adaptive test uses technology to tailor assessment specifically to each student, pinpointing proficiency levels and identifying needs for additional teaching. Computer adaptive testing has been proven in pilot studies in Utah for several years. It saves time, provides enhanced data to parents to understand their students' progress, and helps teachers know exactly what instruction is needed next. This is the board's highest budget priority, and we plan to continue to move forward with computer adaptive testing. Listening tonight, you've probably been able to recognize that Utah Public Education governance is a partnership. It's a constitutional, statutory structure that requires a commitment to collaboration and trust between the State Board of Education, the legislature, the governor, and local boards and charter boards. Each of these has an important role. The legislature is responsible to provide for the maintenance and establishment of public schools open to all the children in the state. It's joined in that legislative responsibility by the governor, who approves or vetoes every bill passed by the legislature. The power granted to the legislature by the Utah Constitution is very broad, and I respect that power. The power granted to the governor is also broad, and he has enormous power to shape policy and to lead our state. Now, Utahns have always believed that decisions should be made closest to the people that they affect. So the legislature typically defers to counties and cities. The State Board of Education defers to local boards of education and to charter governing boards. There are times for statewide policy, but the principle of local control and empowerment remains constant. There are some people who believe that we need more concentrated government or more concentrated power when it comes to education governance, to streamline things, to speed things up. Personally, I believe that the separation of powers is the American way. Sometimes democracy and the diffuse distribution of authority seems slow and messy. I'm reminded of Winston Churchill's statement in Parliament in 1947 that democracy is the worst form of government except all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. And it's worth repeating the words of Ronald Reagan, who said on the occasion of the 40th anniversary of the D-Day landings, that democracy is the most deeply honorable form of government ever devised by man. I am personally opposed to any change in Utah education governance, either by constitutional amendment or by statutory revision, that would have the effect of centralizing power and decreasing representation. I oppose changes that would decrease the ability of local boards of education, elected by citizens of that district, to guide their own schools to meet the needs of their communities as they see them, or changes that would diminish the ability of 104 elected legislators and 15 elected board members to fulfill their responsibility to lead Utah public education as they represent their constituencies. We have good public education governance with elected representatives. Now, before I close, I want to address several groups specifically. I hope you might think of this as a conversation between friends. I want to point out some things most of us already know and remind us of some important lessons. Let me talk again to teachers. I know you feel as though you get the blame for all the complaints people have about public schools. I've heard that expressed. I don't believe you deserve that blame. As teachers, you're the linchpin in the system. It's a heavy burden of responsibility. I don't think there's any job more difficult than yours, and I've been in your shoes. I extend to you my thanks and my highest respect. We expect a lot from you, and you give a lot. Now, I want to speak to leaders and policymakers in our state, legislative, executive branch, and colleagues in the when businesses are locating here, we sell them on the idea of Utah's high-quality workforce and the great quality of life in our state, great schools, strong communities, high values. And I'm confident it's the right story. I'm concerned that so much of the rest of the time the talk is just the opposite, a message that our schools are failing. Can I invite you to recognize our successes before we together turn our collective hopes to improvement? I know you're honorable and well-intentioned. I would just ask that you recognize that the same is true of educators, our teachers, our members of local boards, our superintendents and principals, when we come to you and ask for your help, for tools and resources. We don't come because we're self-serving. We come because we need you. We need your help, and we need your support to serve the students that we all put first. Now to parents. I'm asking you tonight, all parents of Utah school children, to think about the ways you support the success of your students. I want to include guardians and foster parents and all those in this role. Perhaps you're already doing all the right things, and if that's the case, thank you. Some of you are probably more like me. I'm trying, but I could do better. The most important thing you do is set expectations. Let me tell you a story about how this works. My wife, Mary, was born to Lamar and Gwen Monroe down in Scipio, a small town in central Utah. Lamar was a rancher, and Gwen taught school. I'm holding Mary's childhood bank book, her college savings fund. Mary was born in March of 1959. I hope I can come home after announcing this, Mary. She was born in March. The first entry in this book is for $200 made in December 1959. Each December thereafter, Lamar took the proceeds from the sale of a steer and placed those funds in Mary's college savings account. Now, if you know anything about Utah ranching, you'll know that it's never been a way to get rich. So these deposits always required a sacrifice. But you can be certain that Mary understood what Lamar and Gwen expected of her. Parents, your influence to set the expectations for the educational attainment of your children is extraordinarily powerful. Now, we have help for parents. The new Public Education Data Gateway is available online at schools.utah.gov. It's an online tool that will give you unprecedented access to information about all the schools in the state. It'll allow you to compare your child's school with other schools like it or to make any other kind of comparison that you might want. At the same website, you'll also find a new page for parents that brings together all kinds of online resources as you strive to help your children succeed in their school experience, whether you're doing homework with your kids, looking for academic tools, or researching college and career readiness. You can find help online by clicking on parent resources at schools.utah.gov. Some of you in the audience have received this pamphlet. You have it in your hands right now. You'll see on the front of your flyer a QR code, this fancy little box. If you've downloaded the right app on your cell phone, on your smartphone phone, you can scan this code when you leave tonight, and it will link you right to the online parent resource guide. It's very cool. So finally, I want to talk to students directly, especially junior and senior high school students. We're counting on you. More is expected of you than was expected of us. You'll need to learn more and know more than any generation ever had to learn and know. I've talked a lot tonight about what schools need to do, but none of this will make a difference for you if you don't take advantage of the opportunities you have. Schools can't make you learn. I can't make you do your homework. Your teachers can't force you to try your best. Only you can do these things. So I'm asking you to make a personal commitment to do your best. In the end, students, you're responsible for the course of your life. Now, scarcely a day passes I don't see something in the news that makes me admire you. Some of you face and overcome tremendous health challenges. In some of your families, you've had to get a job because a parent's unemployed. Some of you are learning English as a second language. Some of you have parents serving overseas in the military. I get strength from your courage. I read recently about a group of students who raised thousands of dollars to help their teacher who had cancer. I heard the story about students who made sure that a disabled classmate had the chair he needed to compete in wheelchair basketball. A few months ago, I met 12 of you who achieved a perfect score on the ACT. You're the front line in our wars on drugs and bullying. You're the ones who will cure cancer. You're the ones who will end war. You're the ones who will solve the energy needs of the world, who will secure and perpetuate our freedom. How will you do this? I'm counting on you to step up, to sign up for hard courses, to respect your parents and your teachers, to participate in the activities in your school. I know I speak for your parents and teachers and principals when I make you this promise. If you will engage with your best effort in all that your school has to offer, you will get an education in your Utah school that will equal any from any school in the country. We're counting on you. So I'll conclude tonight with this simple hope. May God bless all of Utah's students and parents and teachers. May God bless this great state, and may God bless America. Thank you.